Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, what about the mighty Redbacks?
Well, they've wielded the axe this week.
Well, so I've just heard.
Yes, Fergie and Cooper gone. The run-making machine, Fergie.
Not South Australia's hussy. Gone.
Yes. South Australia's answer to Mike Hussey.
Well. Yep. All I can say is it's not before time.
There should be about two or three others.
Well, I was going to say it's a bit rough on Fergie, I reckon, because Lehman's actually be going just as poorly as he has.
The old Premier of the South Australia's been going all right now and then,
well,
hasn't he?
He has. Weatherall's, he's got a few, yeah. But, no, it is interesting that at long last, I guess the answer is because they obviously are going to finish bottom of the tree. They've at last decided to do something about it and made...
Who's coming in for them then, Rick?
Well, Tom Cooper's gone as well. And he made a century very early in the year and then hasn't made any runs. It's interesting that the major two that they've brought in is Brad Davis from Sturt. He's also their captain.
Do you know much about him, Rick?
I don't. I've heard he's a very good player, but he is 29 years of age.
Ooh.
It's a bit like recycling forever. Kelvin Smith is yet again being given another opportunity. Now, Kelvin Smith is a really interesting character because he has made more runs in A grade, call it Premier League, as it is now, than basically anybody else for many, many years in a row. But he's one of these characters. He's been given a number of opportunities at Sheffield Shield level and has basically missed out on all occasions. He actually played one game very early this year and played a couple of very indiscreet shots and got out. You'd like to think, because he is such a good Premier League player, that sooner or later he'll... make it at first class level, but
I reckon I read somewhere he's got about an average of 129 or something.
Oh, I think
like
it
that.
Might. It could even be higher. Yeah. He's just excellent at that, you know.
You know what the problem is there too, Rick? I almost called you Richard, but I won't on air. The quality of the players in that Premier League is down.
Let's face it. But I mean,
it's a big step up.
It is a big step up, and you'd almost think that this may be his last chance. He is still only 24, and he was. I think he first was given a Guernsey about the same time that Lehman was, and they're both young enough. And if he's good enough, then he's got years ahead of him.
Let's hope it works out for him. I mean, they need a positive note to finish the season on, let's face it.
Well, they do. The batting has been an absolute disaster with collapsing, and it's only skipper Travis Head who's really held it together on a basically consistent manner, particularly since the recommencement. It's interesting, isn't it, that our high-performance manager, Tim Nielsen, said, "We felt there had to be some changes. Our results required a change in team makeup and direction."
And coaching.
Well, it's taken him till the second last Shield game to work that out. But
Why it's high performance.
Well, that's right. Anyway, so good luck to them.
Yeah.
They've got Queensland and Victoria to finish off the season.
Ooh, Victoria are up there, aren't they? They're one of the top sides.
They are.
We'll get a hiding from them.
Well, you'd think so. You'd think sports.
Well, we're on the cricket. I see Boof's been appointed to the Brisbane Heat.
Yeah.
I know you don't follow the 2020, but he's first coaching position since the Australian
debacle
that happened.
It is, and it's interesting because I think I can recall at the time of it happening, Boof said he was going to walk away from coaching altogether. I guess that's your profession, and it's interesting. I think I also heard that when he was asked whether he'd be interested in coaching at first class level again, he said no way. But then again, time will tell to see.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a bit of brass in the pocket, I suppose.
Well, of course it is, and of course there's big money in the Big Bash League. So
There is. Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're sort of on, but some
plenty
of those contracts, it would be. Mm. Okay, well, we've sort of covered the Redbacks.
Talking about big money, Phil.
Yes.
They tell me there's a fair few AFL footy players going around.
There's a good half a dozen.
What, over a million?
Over $1 million.
Really?
Yep. We got Dusty tops the list. 1.3.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Cast your mind back, Rick, that probably 4 or 5 years ago, he decided he didn't want to play for Richmond. He put himself up on the market. No one wanted him.
Yeah.
But now he has turned that career around. There was a fair bit of baggage that was coming with him.
Well,
you know, dad and, you know, a few tattoos and a few things. But
well, he obviously has turned it around.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue about how good a player he is.
He's
obviously, his behaviour and whole demeanour has improved. So good luck to him.
And he talks very well.
He speaks very well.
Yeah,
so who else good. Is
Lynch, ex Gold Coast,
their big
prize recruit.
Yeah.
He's over $1 million.
So does that mean the rest of the Richmond team are playing for nothing? Or?
No. Then we got Nat Fife from Freo.
Great player,
and again holds himself pretty well when he's got to speak. And
yes.
Yeah, he's pretty good there. Boyd from the Western Bulldogs.
Oh, right.
Yep, Tom Boyd.
Yep. Okay, he's a good player. I wouldn't have thought he was.
No, I didn't. One that sort of grabbed me too that I thought, oh, is he?
Mm.
Okay. Jeremy Cameron, GWS, obviously.
Yeah, good player.
And then one of your team, McGovern from West Coast Eagles.
My team.
Well, good player, isn't he?
He is a
Can play forward, back.
Oh, he is. He is probably as versatile as anyone going
just
around.
Just uncanny, though. He just looks
reads the ball beautifully.
Absolutely. You can't argue with that.
Yeah. Well, from what I can understand, reading David Penberthy in the paper, that they really delve into insignificance compared with the AFL board.
Well, there's a couple on a million there too.
Well,
there's 12 of them in actual fact.
Unbelievable.
And they're sucking out $10 million out of the AFL.
Yeah. An average salary of over $850,000 for the 12 of them. Hey?
3.56 million in bonuses.
Yeah.
I'll take a bit of a bonus.
And surprisingly, they are not prepared to reveal AFL Chief Executive Officer Gillon McLachlan's salary any longer. The best we can do is...
From two years back,
and that was then, what, 1.7 or
1.74 million.
So we could probably guess that it's well over two now. Well,
he's come a long way, the Mount Pleasant boy. When I was playing tennis with him out there at Mount Pleasant, I wonder if he remembers me.
I thought the opening stanza in David Penberthy's opinion piece in the Advertiser.
I'd like you to read that out for me, please.
Sums it all up. I just think this is beautiful. I'm quoting him. Next time you're selling one of your kidneys to pay for a round of beers at an AFL game, you might want to loft your pint glass wearily in the direction of AFL House. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable. We are the highest paying public at the football in Australia, like WA, you know, wherever it goes, we are the highest paying.
Yep.
You know, it's just a joke.
Well, we talked briefly about money and where it was going as far as the Stadium Management Authority. But I mean, when you've got 12 million just going to 12 executives, and it mind boggles to think how many people are in positions underneath that you ever get
like
to
300,000 or 400,000. They wouldn't even
before you even get. No wonder the $10 for a beer is the go.
It's a wonder it's not more.
Well,
I mean, you know, I mean, you pay a fair bit to get into the games anyhow. I realize that. So, but and then your memberships are all up.
Yeah.
Apparently, all the memberships of the club memberships are all up.
I mean, it really is amazing to think. I'm sure they'd justify their existence if you ask them, but it makes you think, what on earth do they all do? You know, like...
I mean, what would they be doing right now?
They'd be out at lunch, I would
say. Oh, yes, lunchtime.
Probably at the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. They got the catering committee
there.
Well,
that's right. Yeah. Bargain lunch at the Adelaide Oval.
Got to use it for something.
Well, they probably fly over from Melbourne to have lunch because it's such a good deal at the Adelaide Oval and fly home for tea.
I heard today Metallica are coming out, so they've got a concert they've got to...
At Adelaide Oval?
Yes, Metallica. Really? On a Sunday night, which is, isn't that great? Jeez. Sunday night. Everyone would want to go on a Sunday night.
Unbelievable. But
that committee will be all formed and yeah. they'll probably have a luncheon yeah. and discuss.
Actually, how. Talking about stadiums and
yep.
there's the SMA saying that they need to build a pub to try and, you know, increase the intake to improve the bottom line. And now, I don't know whether you've heard it, Phil, but there's all this talk about wanting to build another new stadium in Adelaide over the top of the railway yards.
Really?
I mean, and the conversation goes something like, oh, well, we might sell the entertainment centre and Cooper's Stadium to help pay for it. I mean, we can't, I mean, if the SMA can't make the Adelaide Oval work and needs a pub, as if we really need, you know, they want to put a roof over the tennis centre.
I mean, for one tournament a year.
That's right. This is Adelaide, the entertainment mecca of the world.
We're no bands or anything come here and, you know, go interstate for a concert.
And, I mean, just imagine the cost of building it, and let alone the fact that we simply haven't got the population to support it. I will admit that it seems that these wonderful sort of pink pig flying machines do come around more consistently when there's an election coming up.
Oh, really? Has that got something to do yeah. with it? Oh, that's unbelievable. And look, I want to, while we're on yes. things, I do want to touch on the local cricket. How are we looking for that?
Oh, well, I mean, it's we must be signed, sealed.
Last week?
It is because of the heat policy and the cancellation of the first day of the two-day game last week, it is now a one-day game. But that, in fact, guaranteed that the final four yep. is
and
fixed.
We mentioned who they were yeah. last week. So nothing
and nothing can change, because the only scenario where it could possibly have changed would be, and if things fitted together like a jigsaw puzzle, would be if a couple of the sides fighting for that fourth position were to win outright. Well, yep. they can't, because no, a one-day game is a one-day yep. game. So yep. It will be, as we discussed.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, well, that's all right. Yeah. I didn't know whether it had changed, because as we, you know.
Yeah. yeah. What? Just getting back a bit to money again, I don't know whether you heard, but the sensational news now is that, having talked up the idea that there was going to be a $40 million ice arena built at Elizabeth,
yeah.
The Playford Council has now pulled the plug on it.
Really?
Yes.
I had my, you know, my...
You had your ice skates
yeah,
ready
yeah,
to
ice
go.
Skates ready to go. I go past every day.
Well, strangely enough...
It's a car park, isn't it? Well, I can drive in there.
Strangely enough, it would seem as if the failed, or should I say fired, CEO, Mal Hemling, had a lot to do with...
Oh, Grand Prix boy, wasn't
that's
he?
That's right. He had a lot to do with the concept that they were going to have a private developer who was going to be lent $10 million from the council, which they had borrowed
just
from
give
the,
us his name.
which they had borrowed from the state government. So it really wasn't theirs in the first place. But anyway, and the other thing which was amazing was that they then had to get a redevelopment notice, because it's public land that was going to be rezoned. So 3 years after they'd built the ice arena, the private developer could buy it, right, but not until after 3 years. And then, if it all went haywire...
Yep, belly up.
Belly up. Would you believe that the council were then going to be required in the contract to buy it back from the developer for $15 million? The group that looked into it, which was a chartered accountant called BRM Holditch Proprietary Limited, figured out that, all things being added up, if it all went belly up, the Playford Council would be looking at a debt of $40 million. So,
wow.
And the whole thing was originally planned without any consultation with the ratepayers. And so it would seem that not only can you put your ice skates away, but it just isn't going to happen.
Well, I won't go skating, but I can always take my tennis racket because there's always a spare court down there.
Well, I was going to say, if it was any judgment on how successful the Playford Tennis Centre goes, it's just as well it's not being built.
They got used once this year. I saw it.
Yeah.
That tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another bit of a...
It is.
Yeah, white elephant. Anyway, have we got a joke today, Rich?
We have got a joke. It concerns the poor losing coach, and he's walking along.
Really?
He's walking along the seafront, and all of a sudden he spots a seagull, and he looks up, and says, "Well, you might as well, because everyone else does."
Oh, beautiful!
That could apply to the Redbacks, couldn't it?
I tell you what. Well, they're down the bottom, that's for sure. So
they have been for a while, too.
Yes.
So,
Have we got any other sporting goss? I can't picture. I had my ear to the ground.
It was great to see that our wonderful favourite sporting side of all, the Australian women's soccer team, won the tournament.
Yes,
and
saw
our
that.
New captain kicked a number of goals, and they're on their way. I reckon they've got a good chance in the World Cup. I really do.
Where would they be roughly ranked?
Oh, they're ranked in the top. They're ranked in the top 4 or 5.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, that's good. So, it's better than our. We're only about 40 or 50, I think, the men's side.
Yes.
So,
yeah. No, they play so well, as we've discussed before.
Oh,
and,
exciting!
And it was good to see them settle down, even after the controversy of, for whatever reason, their
coach. And they reckon
coach.
They'll never come out.
No.
That'll never come out what actually happened there.
But obviously the girls are a pretty united crew,
yeah,
and the new fellow reckons they're a joy to work with, so there you go.
Well, let's see how the Redbacks go, you know. I'm looking forward to their next match now.
Well, it will be interesting, particularly with this changed batting lineup. It's never easy up in Queensland because of not only the conditions as far as humidity go, but we've got the Duke's
the
ball
big
swinging
Duke.
Around, so... And our bowling attacks, we've been hit with injuries. I often wonder why so many fast bowlers break down, even with the fine tuning and all the assistance they've got. But
well, their high performance coach would be sort of helping that, wouldn't it?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know. There's nothing worse than old cricketers talking, but no one seemed to break down, unfortunately, when I was playing. I wish Lillian Thompson had a case. Well, I reckon that's about it for today.
I reckon we've covered a few things here, Rick. So
until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.